before the homily, I just want to mention we're tweaking a little bit the way that we offer the precious blood. So instead of the line, the extraordinary minister facing this way and the line coming up here, they're going to face down the side aisles. The usher will be between the last person lining up for communion and the extraordinary minister. So the line for the precious blood will go down that aisle. That'll maybe relieve a little bit of congestion. And just a reminder that if you're on Our Lady's side, that's over here, that's here, you line up from the beginning and go this way. And if you're on St. Joseph's side, you line up closest to the door and come this way. Overall, we've been doing this for several months and it seems like it's going pretty well. I do want to encourage people to be particularly cautious with the chalice. They're heavy. We've not had any spills at this Mass, but we have had a few spills, so it's very important to be very reverent with the most precious blood. Then also, we're pleased to welcome back two of our seminarians. Well, one of them's not there, but he's here. Ben Weber and Henry Schmidt, they're on their Thanksgiving break, then they'll be done with school next week, so we'll be seeing a little bit of them over their Christmas break. In the opening announcements, it mentioned that we're going to have Matins next Sunday in the evening. Matins is the midnight hour, so Sister Marie Bronislava, every morning, she gets up at midnight, a little before, and the nuns go into the chapel and they chant Matins. So if you ever think you need a prayer at 2 a.m. our time, you can just know that that's where she is, in that chapel, praying Matins in a general way for the whole church, and then, of course, keeping us, her parish, in her prayers regularly. I know she does. And Advent, today, starts Advent, and the midnight hour of prayer always has an excerpt from one of the fathers of the church or one of the great saints. And today it's from St. Cyril of Jerusalem. And St. Cyril is writing about the different comings of Christ. Because as I hope you're aware, in Advent, the first thing that we do as Catholics is not prepare for the celebration of Christmas. Everything about the first week of Advent and even into the second week is about preparing for the second coming. And so St. Cyril beautifully describes the hidden coming of Christ at the Nativity. Outside of the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph and a few others, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and maybe a few others after them, no one was expecting the Messiah. And he came in the dark of night, and the only people who came were the insignificant ones. But then Saint Cyril goes on to say that his last coming will not be like his first coming. And that's what we listen to in the readings today, particularly in St. Paul and in the Gospel. The coming at the end of time, we will have no mistake when he really comes at the end of time. You'll look to the east and you'll think it's the sun, but it'll be way brighter than the sun. And it'll be the Lord coming with all the saints and angels, and they'll be coming across the world judging everyone. And that will be the fulfillment of all of creation. And so the reason there's such an emphasis on this is so that we live as people who follow Christ. Because there'll only be two ways that you'll meet the Lord if you live to the end times. You'll either do it in fear and trembling, or you'll do it like the opening collect said, which is running out to meet Christ with all of your righteous deeds. And the only way you can have righteous deeds is if you allow the grace of Christ in your very soul. So it's not like you're going to be so good that you deserve to be saved, but by your baptism, you've already been saved. And then do you live as somebody who follows Christ? And that's what the great warning is in St. Paul and in the Gospel today. The Lord reminds us of the time of Noah. Everybody thought Noah was a complete fool because he's building this ark and he's following the ways of God. And they were not. And the flood came, and they were all wiped away. And then St. Paul, he doesn't hearken back to Noah, but he really reminds us of the temptation that every age has. Every time, all the time of following Christ, there are people who think, I don't think he's ever coming back. And then they forsake their birthright, or their baptismal rite, if you will. And they start with orgies and carousing and all of those things, promiscuity and lust and all sorts of sinful ways of living, and they are not ready to meet Christ. And shame on us if that's us. We don't have any excuses as followers of Christ in the Catholic Church to not be ready. Because even if we have fallen into one of the sins that St. Paul mentions, then we should get to confession. And it shouldn't be something like, well, I only go at Advent and Lent, so I'll just wait. Of course, it's Advent, you can go now. However, if you ever commit a mortal sin, you should get to confession as soon as you possibly can. You do not want a mortal sin on your soul 1 second longer than it has to be there. And neither does the Lord. Otherwise, he would not have given this sacrament of mercy where we can confess our sins and he forgives them. I remember once reading a story, I can't remember which saint it was, but she was having locutions of the Lord. And her spiritual director said, if it's really Jesus, ask him what my last mortal sin was. And so she went, and when the Lord appeared to her, and she asked the question, and the Lord said to her, I don't remember, because it was confessed. Now, obviously, the Lord doesn't forget, but not in the way that we don't forget. Just imagine if he knows every sin you've ever committed and every sin you will ever commit, and it doesn't stop him from loving you. Like, that is something to pray about. This immense love of God, that even though he knows everything you've ever done, he loves you more than anybody else on the face of the earth. And so as we start Advent and we remind ourselves of the coming of Christ at the end of time, we're reminded that we need to run out with our righteous deeds. And we can do that because of his great love for us, his great mercy for us, and his powerful grace in our souls. If we don't have that powerful grace, we will be in fear and trembling. And it's not the fear of the Lord kind of fear, but a servile fear of the punishment that awaits. But if we have the grace of God in our souls, then, as it says, I think, in St. Luke's Gospel, we'll be able to stand up straight, look to the east, and rejoice that the Savior is here.